Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Computer and Technology Radio with your hosts, Mark Cohen and Marcia Collier.
Hello, and as that nice lady said, welcome. And you are listening to Computer and Technology Radio. I am Mark Cohen. She is Marcia Collier. We've got some really fascinating stories today, Neuralink stories and all kinds of interesting stuff. So, Marcia, how are you?
We got a lot today. Lots. McDonald's, Microsoft, Apple, satellite phones. Okay, let's get plus airline miles, a new thing.
Yeah,
so, Mark,
yes,
tell me, did you see the video with the quadriplegic using Neuralink?
Fantastic. It's just a crazy story. Well, the first human to receive a Neuralink implant allowed him to play a game, without touching the computer. It's a fascinating story. He's the first human to receive a Neuralink brain implant, and obviously is changing his life probably forever. This guy, Noland Arbach, a quadriplegic who agreed to receive the brain chip back in January.
And the thing is, I think he's only 29 years old,
29,
which is significant.
Terrible. And he's remotely controlling a mouse on his computer. Freak driving accident, apparently. You know, he was paralyzed from below the shoulders. But now he has the ability to use this Neuralink to not have to use his the mouse to move things around. And it's an amazing story.
It's a little bit
like when we saw when we were at CES and that's
exoskeleton that
allowed the
and that was something like 5 years ago.
All
that technology has been around. It's just been a matter of people investing in it so that people can actually use it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, I was so impressed. A, because they didn't involve animals,
right?
And I'm not really thrilled with the animal testing, but
that's
me. They don't get to volunteer like this young man volunteered. And this young man had really, really nothing else. He was paralyzed from below the shoulders.
Yeah,
so he's in a wheelchair, like one of those wheelchairs we saw Stephen Hawking in, but he can move his head, he can speak, and in the video, you can watch him use the Neuralink implant to play chess on his laptop.
It reads the brain signals from the user, then it translates them into Bluetooth-based remote commands. So you can control an electronic device. I mean, this is real Star Wars stuff, according to the article. It's real Star Wars.
Well, if you get a chance to see the video, I watched it several times. It was quite amazing.
Fascinating.
I just searched Neuralink and quadriplegic, and you will see it. It's Neuralink has posted it on Twitter on their account.
Mm-hmm.
They did this live. This wasn't pre-recorded, and it was amazing. Speaking of this,
to go 8 hours without having to recharge it.
Isn't that great?
That's fantastic. I mean, it's just amazing.
I mean, you have to have a wire sticking out of the back of your head, but
okay, that's a fair trade-off, I think.
I think so. Which reminds me, last night, my phone rings, and it was Be My Eyes. Remember I told you about Be My Eyes?
For
those of us who don't remember it, it's an app you can put on your phone that when somebody is visually impaired, blind or legally blind, needs help reading something or doing something, they can just push a button on the app, and it will call. It will call. There's millions of volunteers all over the world in different languages. So it will route to one where we speak the same language.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it light up. I got so excited. I've been a member of this since 2019, and I've probably only had 4 or 5 calls since then.
Mm-hmm.
It was a young lady who was at a laundromat, and they had, instead of buttons, which are probably easier, they had a touchscreen. Now, obviously, a touchscreen is going to be pretty problematic if you're blind. So I walked her through. I said, move your camera to the left a little, move your camera to the right a little, point one finger. Now move it an inch There, you got it. Push there. Because she was telling me what she wanted to select. And if you're interested in being a volunteer for this, like I said, it's not a big commitment. I think in all those years, 5 times I've gotten the call. And the thing is, if someone else answers it before you, you lose the chance to help someone.
Yeah.
So it's a great thing. And it's BeMyEyes.com. And it's an app. And I highly recommend anybody.
We had an add-on to this Neuralink story that supposedly Elon Musk says he promises to cure blindness in these brain implants. That's a big promise.
That's an awfully big promise. Because
you're not kidding.
Because
wouldn't that be something if that really is?
The older you get, the more you find there's different things that can destroy your vision.
Right.
And it's scary. It's a scary thing older people don't talk about.
Well, no. I mean, he says this is working on monkeys, you know, which there are animal testing, obviously, there. But that would be quite an achievement if he was able to actually cure blindness.
Well, other news?
Yeah.
The government has been super busy.
Yeah,
suing
a little bit.
Lots of people.
Yep.
And you may know, you may not know, but the Department of Justice has sued Apple. You've got some details on this, Mark. Tell us.
Yeah. I mean, they had 16 state attorney generals file an antitrust lawsuit against Apple. They say that the company is using what they quote, industry-defining iPhone as a tool to enrich itself while stifling competition.
Yes. Check mark on yes. Raising my hand, vote yes.
They're saying that consumers would benefit with a cross-platform kind of situation. You know, we've talked about many times about messaging services and the smartwatches.
Well, the thing that sparked this whole thing up was that app, the beeper app that gave people the chance to,
shut down almost immediately.
Right, and Apple shut it down. They leveraged their power to crush anybody.
Yeah. I mean, the quote from U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland says, "We allege that Apple has consolidated its monopoly power not by making its products better, but by making other products worse."
So basically, the government's pointing to different ways that Apple has allegedly illegally maintained its monopoly. It disrupts super apps. Those that encompass many different programs that they say could degrade iOS stickiness. Now, stickiness means that you stay with the iPhone and you don't go anywhere else.
Right.
By making it easier for iPhone users to switch to competing devices. So, in other words, they don't allow these apps.
Right.
Blocking cloud streaming apps for things like video games that would lower the need for more expensive hardware in the iPhone. We talk about this in Android that, you know, depending on which version of the new year, there's mid-range phones, there's low-range phones, and then there's flagship phones. Each one has a different type of hardware. Apple wants to keep their hardware at a certain level, and they charge good money for it. Suppressing the quality of messaging between iPhone and competing platforms like Android, as you said. Limiting the functionality, this was important, of third-party smartwatches with its iPhones, making it harder for Apple Watch users to switch from the iPhone due to compatibility uses.
Right.
And if you remember, they did this with iTunes and the PC many years ago. They totally shut out PC users. They made it incredibly difficult and crippled to use. And
well,
the third one was blocking third-party developers from creating competing digital wallets with tap-to-pay functionality for the iPhone.
Yeah, now, I mean, it's interesting. And this new update of the Apple Watch, which I have, and of course I have the iPhone, they have put something on the system that your watch will not open unless your iPhone opens it for you, which I found completely ridiculous and outrageous. There was a setting to turn it off, but because I have business software on my phone,
you can't leave
it
on all the time.
It's what?
You can't leave it on all the time.
No, you can't. No, you have to. You just the second, you know, when you take your iWatch or your Apple Watch off your wrist, it turns it off. When you put it back on your wrist, it turns it on. But now you have to turn it on with your iPhone additionally, or the phone won't turn on. So I find this incredibly annoying. It's never happened before, and I can't shut it off. So that is a piece of software that could go away as far as I'm concerned. You know, what if you don't have your iPhone near you? Or, you know, the whole point of using an Apple Watch is that you don't have to have your phone with you when you use it.
Right.
So if you go on, you know, because my Apple Watch makes phone calls, and it works pretty well. It's not perfect, but it works pretty well. But when I go out, if I don't have my iWatch or my iPhone next to me, I can't turn it on.
Yeah, that's problematic.
It is a real problem.
Now, I can't find the exact number, but looking at it from credit card users,
mm-hmm.
this may or may not affect you, but you have an Apple card.
I do.
I would guess most of the time you'd use Apple Pay would be with an Apple card.
Yes. Yeah. Let me think. I actually did attach another credit card to Apple Wallet.
It seems that if you use that other credit card,
mm-hmm.
they charge that other credit card company a higher transaction fee than usual.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that before.
I heard a discussion on it elsewhere, and I've looked it up. So, I mean, if you look this up, it's going to be really hard to find because Apple has manipulated the search. Oh, no, there's no transaction fees on Apple. No, there's not. But for the other credit cards, they pay more. Just like the developers pay 30%, I believe, when they sell on the Apple website.
Well, the Apple credit card, which is run by Goldman Sachs, I think, don't quote me exactly on this number, but I think they reported that Apple lost Goldman Sachs lost $2 billion with the Apple credit card.
Well, that, I think that's because who that doesn't use Apple is going to use an Apple credit card,
well, right.
Number one. And number two, if you think about it, a lot of people don't use an Apple card. Why would they need an Apple card? What's the benefit to them?
There really isn't any major benefit. I use my regular credit card. And like you say, when I'm at a store that takes my Apple phone or my Apple Watch, it is sometimes linked to that. But the credit card is used by, I think, most Apple users because you get a discount. So if you're buying Apple products, I think it's a 3% discount.
Remember that Apple also tells you that your Safari browser is safe and you stick with that, and you can open up an attack vector for cyber criminals if you don't use Safari, which is BS. I mean, other web browsers are allowed to be offered on the iPhone, but they must use Apple's built-in engine to translate web data into text and images.
Right.
That's kind of geeky, but the truth is, it's at the heart of how the internet runs. And in the EU, iPhone and iPad users can easily choose other web browsers like, you know, Firefox or Chrome. So, you know,
I almost never use Safari. For one reason, I just don't like it as much as I like Chrome. So
I love
on my
Chrome.
Apple, on my iPhone, I use Chrome on there. That's my go-to browser.
Well, it's important. It's fascinating. And I'm glad they're doing it. But, you know, this never would have happened and this is a piece of tech history. In 1998, the DOJ had a similar antitrust suit with Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft was the company. I mean, Mark, you can testify to that. I mean, Microsoft was everywhere.
Yeah.
You couldn't get a computer that didn't have Microsoft Windows on it.
Oh, yeah.
And in those days, there weren't all big brands. You used to go to Joe at the corner who would build you a computer and he'd put Windows on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were other operating systems like Linux that could have been used, but there was no software to use with that.
Right.
I remember coming from CPM, which was the predecessor to MS-DOS, and it was great. It worked. Used a program called WordStar for word processing, VisiCalc for spreadsheets. It had plenty of bookkeeping software. It was great, except for the fact it was a bazillion times slower.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to change the floppy disks because there was no hard drive.
No, right.
You had two floppy disk spaces, one for the program and one for your data.
Yeah,
so that was interesting. But anyway, so Microsoft, you probably didn't hear about it, but the short version is Microsoft got nervous about the rise of the web and its position as a monopoly to squash competitors. And that was Netscape,
because they installed
Internet Explorer on every computer. You know, first they tried a special relationship with Netscape, and Netscape said, nah, mm-mm. And then Microsoft, once they said no, the other party said no, they decided to give Internet Explorer away for free with Windows and made deals. If you remember, it also would come with an AOL disk.
Mm-hmm.
You get a free copy of Internet Explorer. Technically, what they were doing, they made deals, threats in order to exclude Netscape from important distribution channels.
Mm-hmm.
So Netscape was the nexus here, and Beeper was the nexus with Apple. You know, the one thing that broke the straw in the government's back to do it. So when you look at this, Apple, the DOJ initially tried to break Microsoft into two companies. And Microsoft walked away from the trial with a long list of prohibited conduct. And the company had to refrain from anti-competitive shenanigans. But without going into the rest of history, the reason you don't see as many phone brands, because remember, Microsoft had a great phone.
They did.
I love the Microsoft. And there were other brands who came out with great phones.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple's, let's just say, shenanigans just caused it to be just too difficult for them to break into the market, and they said no. So I think, there's this Apple case is going to be very, very interesting. I think people are going
to
learn.
I didn't even realize that Netscape browser was still around. I actually went to it this morning, and it is there. You know,
yeah, unfortunately, my original Netscape t-shirt finally got enough holes in it that I had to throw
get
it
rid
away.
Of it eventually, huh? Yeah, but I was surprised, and it's still there. And it's linked to something else on there, but it is still available. And you can still use Netscape. I don't know how good a browser it is because I haven't used it in probably 15 years.
Right. I'm going to jump up a story and reverse it here because we're talking about the DOJ.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about McDonald's. Now, there's nothing I like more than a McDonald's ice cream cone. They are really, really good.
Yeah, they're good.
And they're low calorie, too. My trainer approved one. So I could definitely eat it. So this is something I'm deeply invested in.
Okay.
You may have heard that the McDonald's ice cream machines made by Taylor Manufacturing do not let the people who run the stores fix them.
Yeah, and that came out a long time ago. Remember, it's been probably a couple of years ago that story came out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the point with this is somebody even put together a website. I don't remember what it was called, where you could look up if your local McDonald's ice cream machine was actually working because they were down so often.
Yep,
and you'd have to get an official repairman out there. And it wasn't a kind of thing that you could send in because you needed the soft serve machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it had all these computer codes and it was all secret. Another company kind of hacked the system and gave technical support to stores. And of course, Taylor Manufacturing and McDonald's cut that down because this is a pipeline for cash.
Right.
The average cost. Estimated of unplanned manufacturing downtime was 260,000 per hour on repairs on these things.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. And the business owners could not legally fix them on their own. Even the founder of iFixit got involved. They performed a teardown of the exact machine. And they say, quote, it let out multiple nonsensical, counterintuitive, and seemingly random error codes, but there was nothing they could do. It was unfixable.
Right.
Well, the FTC wants their ice cream cones as well as the DOJ. So
right.
They are looking into this for another possible lawsuit. And right to repair is becoming a thing.
Yeah.
It's happening
forever.
In Europe. Banging on it for a long time.
Yeah, but since we've been on the air, probably we've been talking about right to repair.
But so, this is important because I want my ice cream. I do.
Yeah. Do not make Marcia angry.
Mark,
you would not like her when she's angry.
This next story freaked me out so bad because I stay in hotels a lot.
Yeah, this is quite a story. Apparently, there's a security flaw that can open over 3 million door locks.
3 million.
3 million, which are mainly at hotels. They discovered a flaw that can easily unlock a key card powered door system. And it's always kind of been my feeling about these kinds of things, that when it's electronic as opposed to the old fashioned key, that could cause some hacking issues. And 131 countries have been affected by it.
Great.
And apparently, wait for this. The flaw has existed for the past 36 years, which
Swell.
Makes almost no sense to me because we weren't using those kind of keys then.
Well, yeah, they have been slow. I've been watching them. First, there was a card that had little punch outs in it.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
Then it went to the electronic cards. I've been traveling a lot all my life and I've seen this. But tell more about this because this is
amazing.
Well,
apparently it's not so easy to fix this thing. Apparently, it is only 36% of the affected locks have actually been updated or replaced. They all require a software update to be replaced, and all the cards, the key cards have to be reissued. So which means that if you go to a hotel and they have their software, when you check into a hotel, you get the little plastic credit card looking key, they run it through their software machine and their card decoder. And that's how you get into the room, because they change the code, obviously, every time somebody checks in and checks out.
For security reasons. But sometimes that doesn't happen.
Well, and maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I've never tried to open somebody else's door with one of my keys.
No, some people have gone into other people's hotel rooms by accident.
Yeah, and apparently it's called Saflock MT and Saflock RT Plus.
Safe.
They're apparently the most common impacted models.
Exactly. And each hotel also has to reprogram their machine that programs the keys.
Yeah. I mean, this is not good.
This goes back to something we talked about last week about here in Los Angeles. People with Wi-Fi jammers are jamming the Wi-Fi in people's houses because they don't have a wired security system. They depend mm-hmm. on Wi-Fi. This is basically the same thing. These are door locks. Can you imagine if you have a smart home door lock,
right,
and somebody jams it?
Yeah.
I mean, that is why I totally stay away from them. I'm not interested.
I totally agree with you.
I want a key and a lock that's worked since Jesus.
Yeah,
they've
exactly.
been locking people up. Yeah.
Bolt locks and key locks. And we've had through the years, we've had many companies want to send us, to test the key locks and the electronic and the buttons when I just never wanted to do it. You probably remember I don't remember quite how many years it is, but one of the car companies for a while had an electronic buttons to unlock your car door.
They
and
still do.
Chrysler, who was it?
Some of the companies still do. And I've been,
I haven't
when
seen
I read
that in a
about
while,
cars,
so
people still say, I don't want a button to get in to start my car.
Yeah, no, I agree
I
with that.
I don't want it.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's nothing you can do about it. you just got to hope that somebody is not hacking into your hotel room. And, the other thing that you worry about is obviously not only are somebody going to do something to your room and steal when you're not in the room, but the ability to get into your room when you're in the room. So I do this, and I'm sure, Marcia, you do the same thing. When you go in and check into your room, you lock the – they usually have some kind of bolt lock on the door.
Bolt lock or a little chain lock or something like that.
Or a chain lock or whatever it is, yeah.
But so, they do sell things on Amazon that you can put on a door
mm-hmm.
that would set off a siren if it was open.
Right.
And maybe we'll all have to start traveling with that. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of frightening. So be careful when you check into a hotel room.
This is all hotels. This is not just cheap hotels. This is all hotels.
No. I'm thinking of, and not that this happens to the Wynn, because I don't know, because that's where I usually stay when I go into, you know, to Vegas for CES. You know, these are high-end hotels. And
yeah.
You think you're safe. Yeah, I get it. You're not safe anywhere. Just live with it. No matter what you do, you're not going to be safe anywhere.
There you go.
New story you got on American Airlines apparently making it easier for your mileage. You're a big flyer. I'm not. But you do a lot of flying.
Okay. Yeah, that's a travel story. We can move that up. Totally. I always wondered, you know, I have a bajillion airline miles. Mm-hmm. I keep my American Airlines account with lots of miles in it because I have family in the UK. And many are elderly. So you know what it costs if you wanted to get a business class fare at the last minute to go to England. It's like insane. It's even if you do it months ahead, it's insane.
Right. It's expensive.
And having the miles in there to help me with upgrades makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a substantial amount of miles in my American Airlines account. And American Airlines has finally announced they're willing to transfer your miles to a loved one at death. So if you die with an account rich mm-hmm. with airline miles, that technically it's not worth a ton of money, but it is worth money.
Yeah, sure.
You'll be able to online give the miles to somebody else, and that's available under Contact American on their website. Advantage Account Service, there is an option for deceased member's account.
Yeah, that's great.
I think that's super important.
Yeah, it's a really nice thing. All right, also, we'll go back to who I skipped. So you have an Android satellite phone story.
Well, this is just a quick thing. Remember when the Apple was running around with a little drum going, we could do a satellite, I knew. I knew it could be done because I read this stuff and T-Mobile had the technology.
Right.
But it seems now it's just rolling out to all of Android. So Apple, you can put your drum away. And Google's offering even adds a ready-made Garmin. Remember good old Garmin?
Oh, sure.
Rescue service into its plan.
Yeah, that's nice.
I mean, there's not a lot of information about it. Or exactly when it's, because obviously it will go on different devices first, the newest devices and the newest operating systems. But it seems this is not a big thing because it's a software thing that can be updated in the phone.
Yeah,
and that's great.
That's the way Apple did. Yeah.
Yeah. So bottom line, you can do it. You'll be able to do it real soon on your Android. Now, I think that's great.
Yeah. I mean, on my phone, on my Apple phone, and I forget about it sometimes, if I'm in an area where there's no cell service, it will pop up with the SOS signal, which allows you to connect just as exactly what we're talking about here. And it says SOS right on there, and it connects to the satellite for emergency. Now, you can't use it to call home with, but you can use it as an emergency phone call.
Which is important.
Very important, especially when you're driving in an area where you lose cell service and you get lost. That's a problem because if you lose your cell service, you've also lost your GPS.
You know, and one time Google sent, we were coming back from Las Vegas and it was raining and, you know, the desert sometimes floods.
Mm-hmm.
And Google gives us these crazy directions on a one-lane road through the mountains and it was insane. I would have felt much better if I would have been able to call someone and get more information. But
yeah, I mean, I remember a friend telling me that they were stuck out in the desert. They had taken an off route, you know, because you think, oh, well, it's going to be easier than getting off the freeway.
Yeah, no.
And they didn't know what they were doing. They were stuck. There was no place to go. It's kind of a frightening story.
Well, you know what I think, Mark? I think this is the time. This is the time for what you find every week.
Yeah. And yeah, you think it's the time for the buy of the week?
Yes.
Okay. So this is one that probably now all of a sudden everybody in California should own. And this is, you know, we just had this conversation last week about prices changing. And when I found this buy of the week and checked it this morning, it was cheaper than it is right now. So within 4 hours of us coming in there, still a good device to have. It's just not as cheap as it was 4 hours ago, unfortunately.
Did you refresh your screen like we did last
week? I did, yeah.
I
refreshed my screen
price.
Again just to make sure. And this time it didn't put the price back to the price I saw. But having said that, it's not expensive. And it's called the Von Dior Portable NOAA Weather Radio, which all of a sudden in California, I guess we need these now because our weather system has been
We had a lovely rain this morning.
We had heavy rain this morning. Yeah. It's battery operated. Again, it's an emergency system. It's also an AM/FM radio, pocket weather alert radio. And it's something that probably you should have around your house to get alerts because if it is, you know, if you have your electricity goes out, this is a battery operated device. Oh, I know. Yes, I'm sorry. The price is still there. The catch is you have to be a Prime member to get this price.
There you go.
So it sells for $25.99. They are offering today 10% off of that.
I got 31% off.
31. Well, from the an additional 10% off.
Okay.
So you get an additional if you
yes.
Yeah. So you click on that little thing that sometimes shows up on Prime. You'll save 10% on top of this. And if you are a Prime member, you'll get the radio for $17.99 instead of the $25.99 price, plus 10% off of it.
So, right.
So that's
pocket radios that grandpa and grandma had.
Oh, yeah. They're called transistor radios.
Right.
Yeah.
And whether this has transistors or not, it has weather radio, battery operated, emergency, NOAA, AM, yep. FM with best reception, pocket weather, alert, the whole
right.
thing.
Just
you know,
dial
when
down
the power
the switch
goes
to the
out, this is valuable.
Yeah,
for $17.99.
Like especially here in California, all of a sudden, this is something that we probably need to have, and everybody should probably have an emergency radio, you know, no matter wherever you are, it's important to have that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is interesting. We're going to talk about vintage games.
Yeah.
And what things are selling for. So last night we had some friends over and for some reason I'm Googling something. I don't know. Somebody said something about the Beatles and I Googled what they called their yesterday. I think it was called Yesterday and Today's Album. And I don't know if you remember that, but it
I
was
have them all.
Okay, so it was when I was a kid, the album came out and it had a brutally bloody cover to it.
It was called
the
Butcher Cover. It was called the Butcher Cover.
The Butcher
and
Cover,
they pulled
right.
it.
And it had them as butchers and there was blood and meat and it was so offensive that they actually reissued the album with a piece of paper over it. They didn't replace it because that was too expensive. They just stuck another label on it. Well, of course, when everybody found out about it, we all peeled those off to see what was underneath. And I went into my garage last night and I found it and I pulled it out and I have it. And the only reason I did that is take a guess what one person is selling this on eBay for.
Go.
$35,000. Now, nobody's bought it yet. So
right.
it
well,
may only
see,
be worth $6.
That's the problem with some of these things where you have the articles that it's selling for so much on eBay.
Yeah, they got to sell.
Since I wrote eBay for Dummies, I can tell you, and I'm an active eBay seller.
Yep.
I sell stuff every week.
Right.
When you're researching something, search the item, then search what people are charging for it. You can sort your eBay search with lowest price first.
Mm-hmm.
Or highest price first. So you get an idea of what it
right.
goes for. And on the left side of the page, if you scroll all the way down, because it's not easy to find, you can click and see sold items. in the same format. Yeah. And if you click sold items, you'll see what people are actually paying, which is a lot of times not what most people are asking for some of these things.
Yeah.
But I know The Legend of Zelda, the gold edition, is selling for a lot. And I have one. And
you have a gold edition?
Yeah, I do. But the instruction book is missing. But you know how you, when you go through things, you find things and you put them back where they were? Because I remember finding it. So I know I have the complete thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, these prices are a little crazy. And I have old Nintendo games floating around here. I think I do this every once in a while when I see a story and I pull it out and then I look it up and I go, nobody's paying that kind of money for these
things. Well, like they say, the Nintendo 64, the original system, current value is $5,651. Okay. All well and good, but that's brand new in the box.
Right.
If you've played and banged at it for a while, it's going to be considerably less.
Oh,
so be sure when you do your comparative searches, take a look, see how much it's going for.
And sometimes
Game
it's
Boy.
They have to have the boxes too, which are important.
Well, I have a Game Boy that is questionable as to whether the seal was broken on the box. And I don't know how to check.
The seal is still on there.
Somebody could have opened it and put it back. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I'd have to send it to a company to do a thing to verify the
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and I'll let my daughter do that when I die. Exactly. You know,
she'll inherit it and she can do it, right?
You figure it out.
Yeah,
but
I mean, sometimes I don't even really believe these stories, but who knows? There was a Pikachu. That was a Pikachu. Says that one of their Illustrator cards, one of 39, sold for $22 million in 2022. Who's going to pay $22 million for a card?
But let's make note here. Some crazy collector with too much money and less brains.
Yeah.
But the point is, when it comes to cards, you have to have them professionally graded by a company called PSA.
Yep.
That stands for Professional Sports Authenticator.
Yep.
And if you don't, the price may be a third.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
But again, do you want to send it in and go through the whole thing and pay the money and then find out the condition of your card isn't exactly a 10 like you thought it was?
Right.
And it's only worth $1.98 and you just spent some money on getting it authenticated and put in a little plastic container.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, there's a lot to consider.
Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff. Okay, so should we, let's see, what do we want to talk about here? Should we go to streaming?
I just wanted to say, on that same note, compact cameras are making a huge comeback. A brand new Nikon Coolpix, if you remember that little camera,
sure.
I had one of them.
It was a good little camera.
The price has soared by 8,000%.
What?
And it's crazy. People like the young kids, they like the idea. The Nikon Coolpix 6900 was launched in 2015, and it's not the best camera that ever, but lots of people bought them. And the leading model in the retro revival is this camera, with eBay searches up for it 37,567%. TikTok searches 34,543%. Now, I would say if you have a Nikon Coolpix S6900, start dusting that puppy off. Again, if you don't have the box, it's worth a little bit less. But the old Motorola Razr, I know I have one on my desk right here.
Yeah.
Those are crazy. The eBay searches are up 148% for this. Walkman. Nintendo DS. I have one of those somewhere. Searches are up, for eBay, 19%. A lot of these old things, technologies, the Samsung flip phone, all kinds of things.
Right.
The old Apple iPod, which I'm not getting rid of. I have one of those old ones. Let my daughter figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
But you have to be aware that some of this stuff is happening, and you can sell it on eBay. And the extra money ain't bad. It really is not.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we're almost out of time. Let's talk a little bit of streaming. And I have to say that for the most part, I've seen almost all of these movies on the top 10 chart.
Thank goodness, because I haven't. So let's hit it.
Okay. Poor Things, which was outstanding and really one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen.
Okay. Weird.
She won, Emma Stone won Best Actress for this at the
Academy.
What
was weird about it?
Tell you about it?
What was weird about it?
Oh, well, let's start out with the fact that it's like the Frankenstein monster. It's like Dr. Frankenstein recreates a woman who had died. I don't want to give much of the movie away, and it transplants a brain, and you see her learning from being this monstrous thing to who she becomes.
Oh, what a lovely, warm-hearted story.
It's a crazy, not for children, highly sexual, a lot of nudity.
Excellent.
But really entertaining.
And it's on Hulu.
Yeah, it's on Hulu. The second one is American Fiction, which was also outstanding. It's just a great story about a black writer who doesn't write blackish books, but writes just, you know, books that have nothing to do with race. And people get on him, and he's not as successful because you want to hear the black experience, apparently. So it's kind of the general idea of American Fiction. Outstanding movie. Oppenheimer, that's on FUBU, it says.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer, good. One Academy Award for Best Picture of the Year and a bunch of other awards. It's available to stream on Peacock right now.
Yeah. Who hasn't seen Oppenheimer?
Yeah, right. Dune, I still haven't been able to watch it, although I hear it's very good. That's on Max. The Holdovers, another outstanding Paul Giamatti movie.
Love that movie on Peacock. That's
terrific.
Excellent.
Movie. Neither of us have, unless you've seen it, Past Lives, Paramount Plus. Haven't seen it. Killers of the Flower Moon, 3.5 hour. Good, outstanding movie, some great acting, Apple TV. Damsel, which I enjoyed, Millie Bobby Brown, and kind of a King Arthur-ish kind of thing where she's the heroine in that, and that's on Netflix. Argyle, which I watched and enjoyed. I thought it was kind of fun. And that's Apple TV, and Wonka. And you know what? I liked it. And I'm a huge Wonka, Willy Wonka fan of the original Gene Wilder version. But this was very entertaining and fun to watch.
Well, nothing's going to replace Gene Wilder in my heart.
Nobody's going to replace him. And,
no.
Yeah,
no.
I totally agree. But it was entertaining. And it's a pre-Wonka sequel.
I'm before he
becomes the chocolate.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's not a remake of the original. They didn't do that, which I'm happy. Because they did remake that movie originally with Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not great. But this one is very entertaining.
So this is how he turned into Willy Wonka?
Yeah, this is how he became the owner of the chocolate factory.
Okay, so I might watch that.
Yeah, it's worth watching.
Okay, now the top 10 streaming TV shows, which I hate. Luckily, some of them are only 6 episodes, and you can swallow them in 2 days.
Right.
Shogun. I haven't seen it. I'm a huge fan of the original Shogun with Richard Chamberlain on Hulu. Have you seen it?
I've seen about an episode and a half. I haven't been able to get into it.
Meh. Okay. So that gets a meh. Now, number 2 on the list, on the top 10 list, from Netflix is The Gentlemen. And we blew through that so fast.
Yeah,
we
so
loved every moment of it.
Yep. Guy Ritchie, crazy, wild story.
Fabulous movie. I recommend it to everyone. Mm-hmm. Resident Alien, I haven't seen. Have you?
Nor have I.
Okay. Number 4, The Regime. I've
heard good things about it, but I don't know much about it. It's on Max.
Number 5, The Signal.
Haven't seen it.
Number 6, The Tourist.
You know, that must be decent because it's been on the top 10 list for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to try to watch that.
Number 7 is Night Country, True Detective.
Can't get into it. Yep, can't get into
8,
it.
8, I loved on Apple TV, Masters of the Air.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, The Ones Who Live. That sounds one of those creepy apocalyptic movies, which I might not want to watch. I don't like the artwork. You know, if you don't like the artwork on the poster,
it's pretty
right
creepy
away,
looking,
I don't know. Artwork. So I don't know. Number 10 is Halo, which everybody seems to love. I haven't been captivated to jump in and take a look at it.
It's a video game. It's translation from a video game.
Another one. Well, they're making Ready Player One, second edition. So,
oh, yeah, the second movie. Yeah, that was entertaining.
Yeah, so, you know, that's definitely going to be something that people are going to be watching.
All right. Hey, that's it for us. There's our music. As always, thank you for joining us. Please find us on the radio, at Twitter. I am Real Mark Cohen.
She's on the radio. Cohen. That means on your podcast networks.
There you go.
We're on all of them. Please, please, please join us. Tell your friends, because we do this every week, not just because we love it, because we love telling you the stories of tech. So have a great week. See you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Computer and Technology Radio with your hosts, Mark Cohen and Marcia Collier, produced by Brain Food Radio Syndication, Global Food for Thought.